Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ghar se dola chala ladli ka kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka ghar se dola chala ladli ka kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 4 minutes after 11 Central African time. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Lanesia. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. Of course, our beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad will be joining us shortly, inshallah. We welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, and we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And we welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Today is the 21st of September 2021, which is also the 13th of Safar 1443. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad into the program. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener wants to know, Ustad, from Springs, does the husband have to make his wife happy? Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Jalla wala informs us and commands every husband in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and you, the husbands, treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. So if you mean that to treat your wife with love and happiness and joy, so that is a commandment of Almighty Allah. But if you mean that the wife is telling the husband, let's go to the casinos, let's go to the gambling dens, let's go to the pub, let's go dancing, let's go do haram things, and then you call that happiness, so obviously that will be haram and not permissible. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is a golden rule in Islam, the hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'asatil khaliq, that there is no obedience to any creation when it leads to a sin against the Creator. Secondly, maybe you're speaking of happiness regarding monetary terms and finances. So obviously, the husband must spend on his wife. And just this morning, I spoke of it Fajr time, there in the masjid after Fajr, to give advice. I quoted the hadith, Tahaddu Tahabbu, authentic hadith in Bayhaqi. Give gifts to one another, it will generate mutual love. For innal hadith, so when you give the gift, it removes the malice, the rancor, the hatred. So sometime between husband and wife, there is misunderstanding, confusion. So the husband should give without the wife asking, anticipating. That will enhance the marriage. The wife also should give. The wife can give something very, very good, but cheap also. A miswak, a topi, a pair of of socks, you know, anything to show her appreciation as well. It should not be one-way traffic. And then the husband should also give akhlaqi farzeh. It's a moral obligation. So you give her some bonus, you give her some spending, and weekly or monthly, and don't ask about where you spent it and why you did this and why you did that. So both parties need to be pragmatic and practical. And obviously, du'as are very, very important. When last did you make du'a with your husband? Simple question. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. That, O Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. Myself, my wife, when it is the beginning of the month, then the Islamic lunar month, we make du'a together. Tonight, you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, scan the sky and look at the moon, Laylatul Badr, the full moon, shining in its glory and beauty. So appreciate the bounties of Allah. When we went for Fajr and came back, I showed my brothers, Brother Muhammad Khan, Wasim Khan, I said, look at the moon there. And I told them, watch the moon tonight, it will be the full moon. So these are the things that will bring you closer to Almighty Allah and closer to one another. And inshallah, once the hearts are meeting, then you will go through every turbulence in life, inshallah.
Somebody wants to know, Ustaz, from Land South, what is meant by the word nikah in the Quran, Ustaz?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala uses the word nikah. So nikah, as far as Islam goes, is only one definition, and that is Adam and Eve, male and female, who are strangers. They are not brother, sister. They are not uncle and auntie, aunt, uncle and niece or nephew, and you understand, auntie. So in that, basically, they're strangers and they get married. But remember, the girl's father, the guardian of the girl, must give permission, and both parties must belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They must not be kuffar, Shias and Qadianis and Ahmadis and so forth and Aga Khanis. These are not Muslims. And another important issue will be, there must be two male witnesses when the nikah is being performed. So that is the definition of nikah as far as Islam goes. And in Islam, my brother, in Lanesia South, you read the kalima, I read the kalima, La ilaha illallah. Truly, there is no deity, there is none worthy of worship except Almighty Allah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we also must utter and say, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, is the last messenger. So in a case like this, we can't just say, show me in the Quran. The Quran needs explanation, elaboration. Surah 16, Surah Nahl, chapter 16, the B, verse 44. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. We reveal to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reminder, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَأَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So that you will explain everything in detail, what was revealed for them, and so that they wonder, ponder, and reflect. So they're inseparable. You can't say, I only believe in Quran. You can't say, I only believe in the Sunnah. We have to merge and combine both of them together.
There's somebody from Azadwal, Ustad, who needs urgent assistance. And they say that, Mufti Sahab, I want us to get our own place, but my husband refuses. What should I do? Please, I need your advice, dear Mufti Sahab. Student of Deen, Ustad.
The way I understand your question, that you are married recently, maybe 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, and you did not at that time, or your parents also did not approach the subject when your current husband and his family came to propose regarding where you will be staying. And now you said, okay, you will stay with your in-laws. And now things are getting but hot. The temperature is rising between you and your mother-in-law. And your husband is caught between loyalties. One side, he looks at his mother and she is beloved to him and she's crying. One side, he looks at you and then you are crying. Now you say, we must have a separate place and residence. He says no. So Islamically, you are entitled to your own house, to your own flat remembered these type of things. Therefore, I told you all on several occasions in the past also, and I reiterate and repeat again, that remember when you come, somebody go come for a proposal, these are one of the 8-10 questions you must ask. You have to ask the age of the person, you have to ask where he performs salat, you have to ask the income of that person, which ulama he is, and where will you stay. So that is of paramount importance. You don't just hope for the best, so you have to think of all these issues here. But maybe he will turn around, that is your current hubby, and your husband will say, but how can he leave his mother, he is the only son, and so forth, and you want your own house. So you tell him he must get 2 flats or a granny flat or something like that, or an outbuilding, and the mother can stay in the main house and you and he can stay. So some arrangement like that. But as long as you're going to share the same kitchen, you're going to share the same dining room and all that, then always that will be a recipe for disaster and a recipe for failure. So Islamically, remember, a wife is entitled to her separate independent house or room or flat, depending on the income of the husband and so forth and so on. But what I find really surprising, one side you say you are a Taliba student of deen, and you didn't clarify this issue. So I always tell you, my daughters, my sisters, these are issues you must clarify.
Sister says 10 months Ustad, 10 yeah. months in the marriage, and she says, I regret marrying my husband Ustad.
Yes, you can see there's so much tension and so much rows and ructions going on, even if she loves her husband or likes her husband, but the environment in which she is, maybe with the father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, so many in-laws there, they made her the outlaw, you see. So in that way there, you know that story there, the sister becomes the sister-in-law, the brother becomes the brother-in-law, the mother becomes the mother-in-law, and then the father becomes the father-in-law. So, but what happens to the wife? The wife is the law. So now you are not getting all that now. So my advice to you is that tell your husband you want to go back to your parents, go negotiate with them and see what advice is. But I blame you also. So, and your parents, why you all did not clarify all these issues from the start.
0847863132. Ustad, a message says here, every time her young maternal uncle sees her, he kisses her and hugs her on the hand, on the neck, Ustad. Then her husband told her not to accept that. Ustad, could you please elaborate on this?
100%, you must remember your mama G. Your mama G is a hot guy, you see. So maternal uncle means mama G, your mother's brother. So, you know, he comes, maybe he likes you, he loves you because you are his niece. From a young baby, a young girl, he saw you developing into a beautiful lady. Maybe he got no bad intentions. You understand? We give him the benefit of the doubt. But what your husband is saying is correct. In this day and this age, remember, there is just far too many fitna. So now if he comes and he wants to kiss you on the hand and forehead and so forth and so on, so it is best he does not do that. Remember, today a lot of things can happen. So most to most, you can tell him, with the permission of your husband, that he just shake your hand and you shake hand, but all this hugging, kissing, all that, leave all that out. You must remember that. I mean, I'll tell you myself, right? So I'm speaking of 30, 40 years ago now. So because you must remember, they all passed away when I used to come from overseas, more than 40 years ago. So my masi, my aunties, my maternal aunties, they used to kiss me and hug me and all this. But it was not such a of so much fitna like today, remember that. And al-khala to be manzilatil so the khala, the ma'asi, takes the place of a mother. So you must remember that. But in this day and this age, what your husband is saying is correct. So both you and your husband try and reach some compromise. You should tell him, okay, Habi, I understand your viewpoint, so I will tell our uncle, my mama ji, we must just shake hands and so forth, but no hugging and no kissing and so forth. So in that way, all parties will be happy, inshallah.
Somebody says, dear Mufti Saab, we went to a family psychologist for advice. We asked her if everything discussed was confidential. And she said, yes, Ustad. Then she went and told the whole family about what was discussed. Ustad.
Obviously, you can go and sue her. You can report her to the medical board and remember for infringement, because she's supposed to keep everything confidential and she had no business to go tell the family. If you can prove it, then she can lose and her license can be revoked and so forth and so on. So it's up to you what you want to do. Either you go there and demand an apology from her, or either you go further and you go to the medical council and report her officially, or remember, you can go via the legal route and sue her also for all this disclosing your private confidential information and so forth. My advice to you is just go and tell her to apologize and so forth, so she does not do so with other people and other patients. And then, now to me, this is the most important question. In this day and this age, what need is there for us, a Muslim couple, to go to a psychologist? What need is there for you to go to these people here? When I was in America, so you must remember that where I used to perform Taraweeh, you understood, Hagerstown. Hagerstown is Medina to Hajar, the city name of the Sayyida Hajara radiallahu anha. This is in Maryland. For you to understand it easily, is 1 hour from the White House, from Washington. It's 10-15 minutes from Camp David, you see. So we went all these places. So Camp David, we went, and they told us, if you don't move from here, they start shooting. Then we came out. So cut long story short, just to give you the location. So when I was there and I performed the Taraweeh, so that there were 40-50 doctors, and not just Mickey Mouse doctors, GPs and that. They were people who were real all specialists. Top shot, big shot. I never heard those names in my life, you understand? This ologist and this ologist. And so one day I gave a lecture, I say, the only name I never heard yet is zoologist, you understand? Otherwise, all the head to toe, all ologists I heard here. So that was just on the lighter side. So this one guy was also psychologist and all this, you understand? And all these terms here, you know. So he told me, you know, in America, they call us shrinks. And by the time we finish with all these patients, we also go half-made, you understood? And whenever I used to look at him, I used to think he's crazy also, you know. So I won't take his name, but I know his name. Because I had to go to his house, I had to send emails and all that, so I used to go there. The point I'm making is this, why must we as Muslims go? They will put so many different ideas and thoughts in your mind. You must go to Quran Sharif. You must go to Sunnah Mubarakah. Don't go to people, you're sitting with a problem, they have their field of study, they might be experts, we're not disputing that. But as far as we are concerned, remember that they're going to put many more ideas and thoughts in your mind, and you will. That's why I always tell, I tell my family also. See, simple example I give you. If the car is working, just let it work. If your body is working, just carry on. They're going to go to the doctor, for really he'll take out, this is wrong, this is wrong. You take your car to the mechanic, I'm not speaking of a normal service and that, but just something comes, he says, get my car checked up. For really he'll tell you, your pistons are not working, and this is not working, and this is not working. They will take out 101 things, you must remember. That's their job. So why must we go there when there's really no need to go there? So that is what I'm telling you. But just go to her, my advice, I gave you the options Islamically also. But my advice, go there, reprovoke her, reprimand her if you got evidence, and tell her to apologize. That's the easy way of solving the problem.
I follow the Shafi Mazhab, Ustad. Must I make a fresh wudu for every qadha salah I perform? I've been making qadha salah with the same wudu which I made for my other salah, Ustad.
Remember that it depends. If you are a person, that's normal. That if you're a female, you're not having problem with any istihada issues, bleeding, leaking issues. Or you are a male, you don't have any problem with plumbing issues and with urine problems and so forth. Then you make qadha 5, 10, 20 with the same wudu. It's fine. But remember, if you're a ma'zur, ma'zura, then whether Hanafi, Shafi, whatever, then for every first salat, you will have to make qada. For every first salat, you will have to make a fresh hudu. Okay? So that is something you should know. That is if you're ma'zur. And then, during that time, now let's say, we just give you an example. Let's say now, Zuhr time has entered. It hasn't entered. I'm still giving example. So, time for Zuhr has entered. So now, let's just say it's 12:30, right? So 12:30. So time has entered. So Hanafi, Shafi, whatever you are, so now you make your fresh wudu, and you perform your Zuhr salat, okay? So thereafter now, you want to make qada salat. So what happens in a case like that? Hanafi say you can make, there's no problem, 5, 10, whatever, till the ending time of Zuhr. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, and them will say, no, that if you're a ma'azur, you have problem with istihaza, or you are a person, remember, that he has problem with urine, and you ma'azur, so for every qada salat also, you will have to make a fresh hudu. So that is according to the Shafi'is, for people who are ma'azur, not for normal people, remember that.
Somebody says, married for 60 years, Ustad, been beaten and broken up. My husband finally died, passed away, and I miss him so much, Mufti Sab. It feels very strange not to get beaten up. People say in real life there should be peace. I don't believe this is possible. Men are men, Mufti Sab, Ustad.
Remember, sister, it's history now. Allah alone knows. You pull 60 years with him. My uncle passed away a few months ago. It was a Friday. Allah Ibrahim Kaka, Bamli Kaka in Pochestroom. He was married for 63, 64 years. And when we used to speak of Kaki, my uncle, my auntie, I know you could see the tears. Because remember, they had wonderful moments they could relish, cherish, and so forth. He kept her like a queen. You know, we all knew that. So, my sister, that you went through duk and you went through suk. You went through happiness and you went through difficulty. So now, when your husband is gone, that vacuum is there. So why are you only thinking of the bad moments? So remember, think of the good moments also. And Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, La tasubbul amwat. Don't sway the dead and abuse them. Fa innahum qad afdaw ila ma qaddamu. They already reached the year after, meaning they gone to another world and so forth. The alame barzakh and so forth. Their qiyamah individually started already. So the hadith is authentic. Remember that. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad, Bulughul Maram, various compilations. So my sister, what you should be doing is, your husband just passed away 1 week ago, 1 month ago, so you're still in iddat. And your iddat will be 130 days, 130 days from time of death. During that period there, no new clothes, no jewelry, no going around here and there, gallivanting, shopping and visiting here and there, all that, no mehendi, so and henna and so forth. So rather make dua, and when does negative thoughts come, he beat me up, he did this. I'm not saying that is permissible, it's haram that. But you stayed in the marriage, Allah will reward you for that, and you brought up your children, your grandchildren. So rather you make dua for him, rather give some charity, and in that way there, it'll be a win-win situation. You get the reward, and he also get the reward. Tomorrow when you pass away, you and the same hubby will be together, inshallah, on day of Qiyamah, and in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. So look at the present and the future. Don't go backwards and reverse gear. Go forward, progress, do not retrogress, sister.
A sister says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahab, and to the Merkaz Sahaba team. Molana, I got married this past Sunday. Today is Tuesday. My husband's second nikah will take place today at our walima. How can he do this, dear Mufti Sahab? Can I ask for a divorce? I am going back to my mommy's house today. Ustad, anonymous sister.
These are things, you know, that I still can't understand and so forth. So, you say, let me get this right first. You say you got married on Sunday to ABC, right? So, you slept with him, he slept with you, your everything happened, right? Now, today, he is Walima for you, and he is getting married to another lady also. So, then tomorrow or so, he left Walima again for that lady there. So I'm sure that this person, yeah, if you go and did your homework, that he was a Casanova. You understand? He was a person that, remember, maybe was married before also. Or if I was not married before, but there must be some past or something. So the question I have to ask you, the sister who posed the question, who wants to break the marriage, be honest. Did you really make any homework regarding this person you are speaking about, your husband? Did you find out about his family? How much taqwa, piety, dedication they got to deen or whatever? Or was it just a case that the guy came with a smart car, Rolls Royce, Merc, and be my wife, BMW, and he was just flashing some, you understand, with a smart, you understand, Rado, Rolex watch, and so forth, and so on. And you said, Aita boharu lage, you see, and this. So you need to, wama asabakum min musibatin fabima kasabat aydikum, that when calamities befall you, it's 99%, 95% of the time because of our own deeds, our own intentions and so forth. So sister, you want to go home to your parents' place, that's understandable. Now he's going to marry that other lady, you can't do anything about it now, that by the time you go and all that. So tell him you're going to your parents' place, and then you decide that if he can do justice with both of you, then you have to stay in the marriage, because then you won't have valid grounds. But if he's not doing justice, which seems most likely, then you do have valid grounds, you must remember. But my point is, was any homework done? Was proper istikhara done? Was mashura done? When you want to give your daughter, sister in marriage, it's a lifetime decision. It can make her or can break her, remember this. So that is what I'm appealing to you, my sisters, my daughters, my parents, that before, it don't have to be hasty. Today the boy come and just get married tomorrow. No, you have to make proper, thorough investigation, and then you give your answer and your jawab.
Sister says it was all about the money, dear Mufti Saab. We didn't go into to search and to see who the boy was, but it was all about the money, dear Mufti Saab.
So he knows that now, that you'll just to pay the money is sweeter than the honey. So he knows that now finish, that he slept with you two nights that already. He say, tikche, now I need another one, I got enough money. Then he will sleep with that one, and then when he get tired, then after another 3 months he'll take another one, and then another one, because he say, I got the money, and so forth and so on. Now sister, I don't know you, I don't know him, but in all honesty, right, I'm an independent observer, that if I speak to you or your family, be honest about it. Who must I blame? Must I blame him or must I blame you? Obviously, I have to blame you and your family more, that he just dangled the carrot and you all fell for it. Bring more carrots, you see? So this type of thing. Bro, more paya, bro, more paisa, and this type. So we also to blame for all this type of things, sister. And now you say, no, me, I have to move out. But it was your own decision. Nobody forced you, nobody forced, compelled your parents, and he dangled the carrot, he brought the jewelry, he told you, I'll give you so much mahar, I will do this. Yeah, this is a top guy. Now he's showing his true colors. So sister, sometimes marriage is a bed of roses, and sometimes marriage is a bed of thorns. And I'm afraid to say, but remember, in your case, to me, it seems more thorns than roses. So take his permission, go to your parents, make mashura, what are your options and so forth. I told you, if he's doing justice, then you don't have any grounds. If he's not doing justice to the 2, 3, 4 wives or whatever, so remember, then you have some grounds for breaking the marriage. But we don't advise that. We will tell you, rather you stay. Hamara kam jorna hai, torna nahi. Our aim is to make the marriage work and not to break the marriage.
Somebody says here, Ustad, selective memory, dear Mufti Saab. This is is what all husbands have. They forget the past. No, we women don't forget. We remember every detail. Warning to men, don't think you can fool us. We're smarter than you, and we will get you back sooner or later, sister from Mayfair. Ustad.
100%. The word you must use, you use the wrong word, my sister. You mustn't say selective memory. You must say selective amnesia. So that's the word you must use. Conveniently, the husband will say, what? He forgets selectively. So you use half the term selective memory, and I use the second half, selective amnesia. You see, sister, the mistake you are making is that you're painting everybody with the same brush. Now, that is not right. You can't do that. You can say many men, they do that, and they treat their wives and badly, and then when the wife questions them, interrogates them, they are found guilty. The evidence is there on the phone. He was chatting, having an affair, and doing this, you know, cyber affair. Nowadays, we have to learn all these words also. Cyber affair. Cyber affair is that now the emails are flying to the females. He's busy with his old flame that he was in school with or in university, or you must remember they met somewhere and so forth. So all, then he will say, what you talking about? Sometimes they are so good at it, they will make you think that you are the guilty party. You know, there's the games and the tricks, you know, the shenanigans we call in English. So these are the tricks and shenanigans of husbands. I agree with all that, sister. But the one point you're wrong, and the point you are wrong, the way you created the perception, impression, all the husbands do that. So you can't paint everybody and make general sweeping statement. You can say many husbands, and that's true about the lady. You must remember, you tell them something, then you know. They said yesterday or some other day, somebody sent me a message, if you want to know your own weaknesses, mm-hmm. just tell your wife, oh darling, oh Poppy, you are wrong on this issue. Then see the whole history she will give you. Her computer will start. She will bring everything out from the memory, you see, and she will tell you how many wrongs you got, and how many wrongs your mother got, and how many wrong your sister got, and she'll give you history, geography lessons. So all these things will there. So sister, it's true what you are saying to a great extent, but not 100%.
Let's go to Boxburg, Ustad. I want to get married to Mr. X, but Mr. Y is richer. Who do I choose? Solve the equation. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
Who is the person who's more dedicated to deen and Islam? See, I give you my example. Right. Okay, leave my example. I will come to it. Let's go first to Hadith Sharif. Always may I give Quran and Sunnah preference. So Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tunkahul mar'a li arba'in. Normally, people will marry the lady for four reasons. Limaliha, for her wealth. Oli Jamaliha, for her beauty. Wali Hasabiha, the rank and status, they belong to the higher strata of society. Wali Diniha, and a piety. Fasfar bidati deen. Authentic hadith, open Mishkat Sharif. So you must look at the deen, the piety, the character of that person. So Mr. Y, very wealthy, drives a Jaguar, Mercedes, Rolls Royce, Cadillac. Mr. ABC, he's driving Nissan, Toyota, but he's a good, pious person. So I will tell you that Mr. ABC is better because he's dedicated to Islam, he has fear of Allah and so forth. You worried about the wealth, the great mufti, one of the grand muftis of Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, Iltamisul ghina fin nikah. That get married, and then you worried about the richness through the barakah of the nikah. When your intention is good, Allah will bring the richness and the wealth to your feet. Imagine that. See, I give you my own example. Allah bless my parents, you know. So I tell every day, till today, I make dua for them. So my mother, she used to tell me a lot of things. Why? Itikulaini pain ne. Get married. They're all family girls, you know. So I used to tell her, Mommy, you see, Kenari ketri churi pereti. You telling me I must wear, get married here. But look at how many bangles she wear. I'm always up. Said, one bangle I give, the whole wages will go away at this type of things here. And she will demand more and this type of things here. It don't suit me, Ummi. She said, it's right what you're saying. Then another one, I say, no. Say, what you want? I say, I want pious and I want poor. Pious and poor. When you get married to the rich, rich lady, then she sits on your head and she will start dictating to you, my father bought this, my father did that, my mother did that. So that is where you have to. See, Nabi alayhi salam said, when you marry the girl because she is just wealthy and that is your main criteria, فَإِنَّمَا أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ Allah will disgrace you. In Musnad Ahmad the hadith is, so for both parties my advice is, you the girl and the boy, you must look at the taqwa, look at the piety, look at the commitment, dedication to salat and deen. Then you will find Hazrat Hassan Basri, the sage of the age, the wali of the time, so they call him Imam Al-Hassan Al-Basri Al-Wa'iz Al-Bakka. I bought that book in Baghdad, beautiful, nice booklet. So he, Sayyidina Hassan Basri Rahimahullah, he used to say, if I give my daughter to a muttaqi, to a pious person, then I got no worry. Things worked out, alhamdulillah, what more can I ask for? If things don't work out, I know the taqwa, the piety of that person will prevent him from making zulam and oppressing my daughter. Now these are words of gold. These are words of wisdom. So that is what we should be looking at. So forget that rich guy and marry the other guy, provided that he has got piety and good character and his commitment to salat and his belief structure are correct.
One more question, Ustad, before we go for an interval. The sister wants to know, did Mufti Sahib hear about the vaccine? When you have to take the vaccine and when you go to the airport, they're asking you to take blood out. Is this true, Ustad? Yes or no?
So which airport is asking you that? See, you raised a very, very important question, my brother, sister. We don't know who the people are, right, who are posing the question. But Allah shukr, you know, every day I make dua. Ya Allah, use us, use me to uplift this deen, and I must be guided and let others be guided. I tell you today, what happened, right? So you must remember, after I come back, we read a little bit, does that, and then we start. So 1 to 2 hours, I think, busy. Lo and behold, I found one article of Hazrat Mohana Ahmad Sadiq Desai regarding vaccines. If you are on my groups and all that, you will find it there. We sent it out, right? All the doctors against the vaccine and so forth. Then, you know, our crooked Minister of Health, the previous one, McKeezy. So they say he's a crook and all that. You know, all that. They fired him and put him suspension and what and all that. Go see his interview. I sent it out. He says that this is a trial. We ourselves don't know what it is. Go see. I sent it out today. So these type of things and so forth. So you must remember that. So you remember they fired him or suspended, whatever the case is. Go read, go listen to that interview. He's supposed to be Minister of Health, the previous minister, when all this was introduced. So this is not a vaccine. This is an experimental trial. And this is from the horse's mouth, you must remember. So therefore, they're telling you they will give you incentives. They will give you free of charge. Thus, but they want you after that to sign a document. You cannot sue them. You cannot sue the company. You can't do. For what all these things here? They themselves know the harm in it and so forth. Therefore, our fatwa, I told you 100,000 times now, we don't carry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. Totally haram it is. So that is one side of the story. So remember, if any airport is doing this and so forth, then remember that if they're doing it in Joburg, which I think is hardly unlikely, so maybe some Arab country or somewhere they might be doing it, you understand? Because they'll just do as they feel. Then if you're speaking about Umrah or something, we told you, in this day and this age, is best you don't go for Umrah. Then we sent out the next one. Hazrat Mohana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, he took the article where it's written that 10 cinemas will be built in Medina Munawwara. Imagine desecrating the holy city of Medina Munawwara. So Maulana wrote there the heading, the 10 brothels in Medina Munawwara, and so forth and so on. And he said that such people are out of the fold of Islam who did all this, and we agree with them. They got nothing to do with Islam. They're out of the fold of Islam. So we have to pass the fatwa of that. It's very clear. You must remember. These are agents of the West who want to destroy Islam from within. We must remember. So that was another thing I sent out. Then lo and behold, this is, if you understand Urdu, then there's a club there, I sent it out. That person there, the Pakistani anchor, he says, Dajjal Kapela Addah. So if you know the city, they are building Neom, N-E-O-M. So and I've been to that area also. So if you go from Khaybar, you go to Ula. And from Ula, you go to Tabuk and all these areas here. And you go to Madaina Salih. In that area there, lo and behold, one side Jordan, one side the rogue regime Israel, one side Egypt, and it's part of Saudi Arabia. So there they want to build a fantasy city. You understand? Make your own moon, make your own rain, make this, all. So all these are agents of Dajjal. You must remember this type of things here. And playing into the hands of the Jews and so forth and so on. So therefore, if you're asking me, it's not the first time, I told you 100 times already, I don't advise any person to go for Umrah and so forth under the current circumstances. You must remember that. Why must we go there and all these conditions they are made Islamically a haram? The haram does not belong to any family or any government. Any Muslim must have access without these conditions. That is the fatwa we give, and therefore we sent it out because we agree with what Hazrat Maulana wrote. You must remember that. We're not shy to say that. What we say, one person said, Maulana A.S. likte hai or A.K. bolta hai. So you must remember Hazrat Maulana A.S. writes and A.K. will speak about it. It's right. We will speak about it. As long as it's the truth, we'll speak about it. So my sister, vaccines are haram and Umrah is not something compulsory. So therefore we say, rather you don't go, and remember, we discourage people from that.
Well, it's 14 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 0847863132. I see many, many listeners who start throughout the world. They want to know what all this, the Red Book about. Dear Mufti, could you please give us in detail, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is all the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. 1994, you know that democracy started here in South Africa, and then they said that the ulama and so forth must have certain organizations so that they can represent the Muslims and so forth. There were senior ulama involved in that, you know. From Durban, it was Maulana Umar Ji Rahimahullah, Maulana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah, from Yem Yasfam, Transvaal that time, you must remember, Dao Gauteng, and Maulana Ibrahim Mia, Mufti Ahmed Mia, and all of them. And Yasfam was in charge. And then in Durban was Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar and Sheikh Nazim and so forth. So like that, you must remember that these were the main players and so forth. So UKSA was formed and so forth. So I know all of them, we met all of them and so all passed away now. So you must remember, so things were going okay. Then slowly the youngsters came in, and then the youngsters started bootlicking more and more. So whatever the government says, so they just carried on. See, I give you 3 examples. The government said, close the mosque. They said, what, close the mosque? Close the mosque next week, we'll close the masjid this week. So I pose one question to you, that when people can close mosque even before the government says, so how can they ever represent the Muslims? Quran say they are the biggest tanpot dictators, the biggest tyrants, the biggest oppressors. Surah 2 verse 114, وَمَنَ أَذَلَمُ مِمَّمْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. So see, so how they sell the ummah out, you must remember. And Quran says, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيُ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. One. Second one, they went as friends of the court. When our ulama, we went to court, you must remember, they went to oppose it, to close the masjid. unprecedented in human history. You must remember, Maulvi's Imam Sheikh going and becoming friends of the court to close the masjid. Then that they went with the lesbian group, they went with the gay group, and to for recognition, again friends of the court, to say we want Muslim marriages recognized. Why you don't just stay out? What business you had to go as friends of the court and the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Nabi alayhi salam, the enemies of Islam? Unprecedented, you must remember that. So therefore, we realize that now we must go and make our own groupings. And so subhanallah, so many young ulama are on board. They have Wifaqul Ulama, we have Darul Iman, Majlisul Ulama is there for past 50 years approximately, and Jamiat Ulama Gauteng is here, mashallah, from the dear. So all are doing work to show that there are some true ulama left, alhamdulillah. And as far as this current uksa goes, majority of them, dhal and mudwil, remember that they astray and they lead others astray. So this is a dossier with evidence, you must remember that. And we indebted to Jamiat Ulama Gauteng for this. For years and years, they were collating all this information, and now we presented it in Ummati. The youngsters, mashallah, during the weekend, they sent it to me, and then we sent it mass out to so many thousands of people, and now the demand has reached, you know, mashallah, throughout, it's gone viral throughout the whole world, and so many people, see, I give you three examples, what is in the book. Can you believe halal logo on pork? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Not once, 2, 3, 4 times you will see it there in the book. You will see the organization and you will see the halal logo. So how can we ever rely on such people? I'm asking you. You will see the bootlickers. They tell you, you must take the vaccine. They will tell you, go and register for voting, and then they will use a Quranic verse. What you call such people? So that they will tell you, go vote also for one of the most corrupt people. So and murtad some of them. You must remember that. So that is where we stand today. So we have to expose. You must remember those who are leading the ummah astray and taking them for a big ride. 30, 40 years ago, everybody used to pass fatwa TV haram. Today, they no more ulama. They have become TV actors. They have become politicians and so forth and so on. And therefore, I told you our fatwa is that you cannot read Salat behind them. And I mentioned it last night and I'll repeat it. Last week they said on Friday that at Dalum Newcastle that one of these actors will be giving lecture and whatever. So we made sure all with Allah's help. Adam in Faldi Rabbi is not us, it's Allah's mercy. Wadakhilna. So most of them are my students there, mashallah, the teachers and principal at Dalum. I said, how can you have all this? So you must remember, so alhamdulillah, they didn't allow him to speak and so forth. So we must put our foot down. You must never invite them. You must remember to your masajid and your jalsas, let them go busy with the shaitan and do what they want to. But in your places, they are the people who invite politicians to Eidgah. They invite non-Muslims to invite them to the Eidgah, invite them to the mosque, invite them to the madrasas. So you can see, they go to church. We got evidence of them, they go to church. So you must remember. So what is left? Some of them, they go to church. So what is left? You must remember these type of things here. Yeah? So therefore, the time has come that we must expose. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from the fitna of Dajjal. He is the biggest deceiver. But then in another hadith, which is authentic, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there'll be another fitna that is worse than Dajjal. Who are they, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ala imma al mudwillin, those imams, those maulanas, those sheikhs, those muftis who are muftias and they are scholars for dollars and they sell the deen, they don't promote the deen. So you will find everything in the red book and the good cover they made, mashallah, in soccer and that. You must remember Mohana Arafat, he knows, he played lots of. So when that person makes a, you know, commits a crime and a big mistake, attacks somebody very, very badly, the referee takes out the red card and they send him off. So similarly, that year we took out the red cover. So you must remember that the young ulama, they did this. Allah reward them, jazamullah khair, to show the ummah how dangerous these people are. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min fitnatil a'immatil mudhillin. Ya Allah, protect us from dajjal and his cronies, and protect us from these ulama, so-called ulama, politicians and actors, that they lead people astray, and we don't know what's going to happen in future. But for ourselves, our families, we must stay far from them.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustad, what should my sister do about her husband who talks to women on his mobile phone and asks for the pictures? He is a masterminded Ustad.
So if you have evidence for all these type of things, so you must have a heart-to-heart chat with him and ask him one question. If you start doing all these things, will he be very happy or he'll be very annoyed and upset? So how can he be doing all this? Where is the trust in the marriage? He has betrayed the trust. Surah 24, Surah Nur, and verse number 26. Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin. When the husband openly, he wants to chat, he wants photos. Tomorrow he will ask for other kind of photos. What and what is going on? So remember, and today with money, so a lot of things happens. So al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat. The impure, the immoral woman for the immoral man, and the immoral man for the immoral woman. So remember, you must give him ultimatum. If this is continuing, then you're going to walk out, you take the children, and you can go to court and charge him. You must remember, for maintenance and so forth and so on for the children. So you have to put your foot down, otherwise things will just go from bad to worse. Allah Ta'ala protect us. We're really living in time of fitna and fasad.
Somebody says, can Mufti Sahab please explain the correct method of nikah in today's times? Should the girl side feed the boy's family since they are coming for the nikah? Would it be disrespect if we tell the boy's side that there should be no expense on the side of the girl's family? We want barakah, Mufti Sahib, in our daughter's marriages, but people don't understand. So how do we proceed, Ustad?
That's the first point you have to rectify. We say Muslim. I'm Muslim, you are Muslim, the person getting married, both parties are Muslim. So Muslim Islam means we submit, surrender to the command of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. We surrender, submit to the teachings and preachings of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How we submit, surrender? Lovingly, willingly, and sincerely. That is our Islam. So if you want barakah and blessing, and you want to do things, you understand that in the proper way, then the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, inna a'daman nikahi barakah aysaruhu ma'una, that remember that verily the best of nikah, as far as barakah goes, nikah means marriage, and the blessings will be where the inna a'daman nikahi barakah aysaruhu ma'una is where there is the least expenditure. So now, if you're going to be worried about what people are going to say, then you'll never come right. So you must say, I don't worry about people. We worry about what our Allah says, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say. So you want to know, you want a good, nice nikah, barakah. So best, we don't say must, best is Friday. Then after Asr, that is Sa'i Mustajaba, and the time, and where you have it, in a masjid. So like that. So Nabi Alayhi Salaam say, A'alinun nikah, announce the nikah, no clandestine hidden activities, and wajaluhu fil masajid, perform it there in the masjid. Friday is Sayyidul Ayyam, is the best day, and after Asr is the best time on Friday, duas are accepted. And then remember, you invite few people, not 500,000 and 2,000 people. So few people, meaning 10, 20, 50 people come, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, the least expenditure. So there after now the nikah, you get the maulana, the imam, sheikh, whoever to perform the nikah. The girl's father should be made the wakil. So the girl's father is the wali, the guardian, and he should become the wakil, the representative, that is the best, and two male witnesses. spouses, and then the husband-to-be will be there, the girl's father will be there, and then after the nikah is performed, you make dua. After that, you make nushra. You know what is nushra? Nushra is that you distribute the dates. That is what you must do. So the dates, all that will come from the girl's family, that you are happy now, that remember that your daughter got married and so forth. And thereafter, now when the couple, that they slept together and so forth, the consummating is not compulsory. The next day, then from the boys' party, they have walima. If the girls' party want to give a meal and so forth, it's permissible. It's not something haram in person. So it's permissible, but the real sunnah is two. The girls' party gives out dates and so forth, and the boys' party have the walima. So that is what Islam is teaching us. So let me just give you the programs, inshallah. 12 o'clock, the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, 12 to 1, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, and that is by Sheikh Anwar Awlaki rahimahullah. 1 o'clock, Adhan, then 105 to 130, Surah Kahf, verses 50 to 53. 130 to 2, we go to the archive, Surah Hud, we start today, chapter 11, inshallah al-Aziz, verses 1 and 2. 2 to 3, Maulana Zahid Khan, that is Madrasa on A. 3 to 3.30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Maulana Arafat. 3.30 to 4, very interesting topic, Iman or Yaqeen, jab bigger jata hai. Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahab, he's buried in Medina, he spent 40 years plus in Medina. So he's talking Urdu when our Iman and that gets weak. So that is between 3.30 and 4. 4 to 5, Ulumul Quran, Mufti Yusuf Mangera. 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30, the repeat of the tafsir of today, and that is Surah Hud, verses 1 and 2. 7.30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel by Maulana's advices. Then 8 to 10, the month after dinner, and that will be Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan. And 10 to 11 will be Maulana Ridwan Kaji. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.